language that everybody here can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And the serves up. That's a pen.
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that. He hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free steak.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical RX. By Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. And by BetUS, the original online sportsbook. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Patrick Creighton. Look in my eyes,
what do you see? This is the only live local radio show in the city of Houston. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton with you. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN on the John P. Listener line. On the text line, at P. Creighton1 on the X Twitter. Josh Vans on the other side of the glass, the master controls, at IMJ Chevy on the X Twitter. BT in there as well. BT, what's your X Twitter handle?
Sports BT.
At just one
sports
thing.
Sports BT.
All right, well, that's... That's better than Charles, who's got, like, numbers and underscores and whatever the hell else he's got in there. At Sports BT, that's kind of easy, right? ESPN.com, ESPN app, ESPN, tell Google, tell Alexa, play ESPN 97.5, and you can take us everywhere you go because you know you want to. I'm going to address something that I've heard a lot on air today that I've seen a lot online today. And that is Nick Caserio hot takery. It came out earlier today that Derek Stingley Jr. had suffered a hamstring injury in practice. And he's going to be out 4 weeks. And instantly, the Nick Caserio hot takes just came rolling out about, oh, Caserio's an awful general manager and his talent evaluations are terrible and his drafts are terrible and there should be a lot of concern about getting rid of him. And I want to know what drugs y'all on, because it sounds like there's some pretty strong hallucinogens and I might enjoy those on the weekend, maybe. You know, I've never really done drugs, but I keep hearing they're a lot of fun. So if there's a way to do these drugs and not actually suffer long-term health effects, I would like to try it because it sounds like a lot of you use them, and therefore maybe they are a lot of fun. But this idea of Caserio's drafts are awful, stop being stupid. Just stop it. I don't quite understand the Caserio hate, because I get it that, you know, Jack Easterby was influential in bringing Caserio in. Maybe it's the one thing Easterby got right. Because once Caserio got here and they finally got Easterby out the door, look at the things that happened. They got a real head coach. No more Jack Easterby telling the owner, got the whammy on the owner, telling him, oh, no, you got to do this. Oh, no, you got to do that. Didn't have the team in a situation where nobody wanted to be the coach, so they hired David Culley because they couldn't get a real candidate to actually take the job. And then they fired Culley because, well, they had hoped that he would grow into the job, but he didn't. And there's Jack Easterby. Oh, we got to hire Josh McCown. We got to hire Josh McCown. No, Cal, we got to hire Josh McCown. And as much as Nick was resisting that, the Texans were going to hire Josh McCown until they got sued. Until Brian Flores named them in his lawsuit. Hey, look, here's another team that fired an African-American head coach after just 1 year. And then the Texans panicked, and they gave the job to a guy who they never considered giving the job to because they had to cover their ankles. And that's how Lovie Smith became head coach. Hell, I think they got sued on Thursday. Lovie was interviewed and named head coach on that Saturday, after he had never been interviewed before and wasn't interviewed the year before that. Finally rid of the meddling of Jack Easterby. Oh, look, the Texans have a real head coach. And part of that is without Jack Easterby in the building and with only Caserio as far as a talent evaluator and general manager being in the building, a real head coaching candidate actually considered the Texans a worthwhile job. They didn't have to beg and plead and wind up with some schlub. The guy who was probably the number one coaching candidate of this coaching cycle is coaching here. And he didn't take that job because, this GM sucks. He'll be out of here in a year. And then I'll have to deal with another guy that I don't know. Yeah, that wouldn't have happened. I firmly believe if DeMeco thought Caserio was on such thin ice that he could be out of here at the end of the year, he would not have taken the job. Having your head coach and GM on the same page and having them together for a period of time is very important to development in the NFL. Look what happens when you have, say, a quarterback who has to burn through coaches and offensive coordinators. Do you not think it was detrimental to Davis Mills that in his 2 years here, he had two coaches and two offensive coordinators? And as much as we thought it was impossible, his second year here under Lovie and Pep probably did damage to his development, which is why he was worse year two than year one. Look what having multiple coaches and multiple offensive coordinators did for Sam Darnold, who once upon a time was considered to be the best quarterback in his class coming out. Look what it did to Baker Mayfield. When you're a quarterback and you are just being churned over, head coach churned over, OC, it's amazing how many of those guys never pan out, because the message keeps changing. Why I think it was so important for Jacksonville to get the hire right after they canned Urban Meyer. Look at the difference in Trevor Lawrence under Urban Meyer and since Doug Peterson has been there. Those are two different cats. DeMeco was never taking this job if he thought Caserio was a schlub. If he thought Caserio was on hot ice. And for people, look at his drafts. They're so terrible. All right, his first draft, he didn't have a first-round pick and he didn't have a second-round pick. They desperately needed to take a quarterback, so he took a flyer on Davis Mills. Davis Mills' rookie season showed you some promise. Davis Mills' second season, again, new head coach, new offensive coordinator, that had a detrimental effect on him. His rookie year, he showed promise. Not that he was going to be a top five guy, but that he could be decent. Nico Collins has been a stud. He was hurt a lot first year, hurt some last year. But look, this year they have a real offensive coordinator and a real offensive game plan. And he is a damn boss right now. Brevin Jordan's been hurt too much to really know. Garrett Wallow's been a special teams guy. He's on the practice squad. It's a fifth-round pick. They got 2 years out of Roy Lopez as a sixth-round pick. 2022. I know that Derek Stingley Jr.'s injury is the catalyst for all these Caserio hot takes, because up until today, the only thing I'd heard from anybody anywhere is, wow, Derek Stingley's playing really good. Derek Stingley looks like a guy who was with that third pick. Oh, Derek Stingley is hurt. Oh, Caserio sucks. That's how stupid y'all sound. Kenyon Green? I don't know. Kenyon Green's hurt. Kenyon Green played hurt half of last year, too. Jalen Petrie? Jalen Petrie's been a boss. John Metchie had cancer. Last year, Christian Harris looked pretty good. Last year, Damian Pierce is a freaking boss. You know, I'm not worried about fifth-round pick, sixth-round pick. This year, C.J. Stroud looks like a boss. Will Anderson looks like a boss. Juice Scruggs hurt, can't see him yet. Tank Dell looks like he's going to be a player. And hell, they got a sixth-round pick starting at center right now in Jared Patterson. Xavier Hutchinson looks like he could be a guy who might be a player in a year or two. I don't think he's going to be wide receiver one, but he might be a wide receiver three, like a deep threat type guy, you know, in a year or two. You're telling me that he sucks with these picks? You're freaking high. Delusional. I mean, that's Texans, that's PTSD. That's what that is. That is, they have beat you down with terrible play and terrible coaching for the last three seasons that you have Texans PTSD, and as soon as anything goes wrong, you are immediately in the everything sucks, burn it mindset. Stop that. Get some help. Coming up next, it's time for Money Plays. We talk with our buddy Steve Reeder from BettingPredators.com. He will join us next.
ESPN 97.5, the only Houston sports station with a bidet.
And the bidet, should it break? Is there a bidet repairman on site?
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money.
It's time for Money Plays with Patrick Creighton.
Ow! Love that money.
Presented by BetUS, the original online sportsbook. Now, get ready to take down the best money plays of the day.
All right, joining us right now on the RNP guest line from BettingPredators.com, from AvoidTheVIG.com, he's our buddy Steve Reeder. What's up, Steve?
Patrick, it's a great day over here. I got to watch some Giants and 49ers Thursday night football. I'm not sure the day could get any better. Now I'm talking to you. It's basically heaven, man.
Dude, I can't believe the Giants are actually hanging around here.
Yeah, man. It's the team that I grew up watching, grew up loving. And, you know, obviously I bet wherever I, you know, root for whatever team I'm betting on. But they're hanging tough. They're playing smart. No turnovers, limited penalties. But they're getting out-yarded. This is a roster with the 49ers that is just significantly superior to what the Giants have on the field.
Hey, listen,
I think you're going to see them pull away here.
I grew up a Giants fan also, and that's why I know that it is a surprise that they're hanging around. Usually when the Giants play a top team, they play like they've never seen a football before.
Yeah.
But they're playing a lot better today maybe than I would have thought, although the Daniel Jones, 14 completions, 112 yards is would like it if they could actually throw the ball down the field a little bit more. But, you know, San Fran's got a very good front seven, and Giants' offensive line has not been all that great so far this year. So if they got to get it out quick and try to see if they can get guys like Wandale and Slayton to get you some yak, then that's what they got to do to make sure their quarterback doesn't get killed.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Andrew Thomas being out, Bredesen being out, this is a porous offensive line to begin with. And now with some of your best players out on that offensive line, they can't compete against this defense at all.
So let's get into some best bets for this week three coming up. I know you got a few here that you like for this week. Let's start with the Patriots. All right, the Patriots and the Jets. This is an interesting game because, you know, the Jets are basically, they were, I don't want to say they were a Super Bowl favorite, but they were a Super Bowl contender with Aaron Rodgers. And the drop-off from Aaron Rodgers to Zach Wilson is something in the Grand Canyon. Jets are home. Patriots, who have looked better on defense than they have on offense, are 2.5-point favorites in this game What do you like about this game? Do you like the Patriots? Do you think the Jets are being undervalued?
Yeah, it's an interesting situation here because that AFC East was supposed to be so dominant. You know, the Jets obviously losing Rodgers is kind of opening it up a little bit here. And Buffalo hasn't looked all that great so far this year either. I mean, obviously, week two was a heck of a lot better than week one. And Miami, if they lose Tua, you know, which is bound to happen, if history suggests anything, New England can certainly compete for this if they can make a move. But being down 0-2 is sending them back, and they can't afford to lose another one here. You know, they're winless. They had an ugly start to the year. They lost a 25-20 to the Eagles, 24-17 to the Dolphins. It's been disappointing, to say the least. But, Patrick, the Eagles and the Dolphins are two of my top six teams in my power rankings. And everything has been negative for the Patriots, which actually creates some value for us this week. The real reason I like the game is actually not even just the fact that they are in a must-win, and they definitely are in a must-win. It's Bill Belichick against Zach Wilson. Belichick has certainly lost some of his magic, especially against the best offenses in the league. But, and this might be controversial, so I hope your audience is okay with this, Zach Wilson isn't good. He's dreadful, man. In his career, Zach Wilson against the Patriots is 0-4, losing by an average of 18 points a game. In those four losses, his passer rating is 50. He has two touchdown passes, seven interceptions. You know, I just don't trust the Patriots to gain margin because I have tremendous respect for the Jets' defense. But I do trust Belichick to shut Zach Wilson down and win the game. At 2.5, I'm not really asking for a lot of separation here. I love the pass lane less than a field goal here. Anything under three, I'm on board for.
So the Patriots and the points. That is the first of your money plays for this week. Let's take a look at another game here. Maybe that involves some of the locals, and that would be the Texans and the Jaguars. Now the Jags are 8.5-point favorites over the Texans at home. The Texans. Man, if you can point a finger at a guy, that guy's hurt in the Texans right now.
Yeah.
Where is the value on this game?
Yeah, that's certainly part of the handicap here. I mean, you need to shop around for this number, and you need to lay some big, but I love the Jacksonville team total over 26.5. You know, as you said, Houston has a ton of injuries, and there's several that are in the secondary. They allowed 25 and 31 points in the first two games. And I'd argue Jacksonville is a better offense than they've seen so far this year. And the market remembers Jacksonville being held to single digits last week, but that was against KC's underrated defense. You know, it's not as much as the Jacksonville's ineptitude on offense, and I expect this to be a bounce-back spot for them. This is a get-right game for the Jaguars. Week 17 last season, this was a 31-3 Jags win. I don't expect it to be that score this time, but I do expect them to put up those points, especially with Calvin Ridley in the mix. Like, with that said, I'd be hesitant to lay the 8.5, and this makes it your listeners a little happy here. C.J. Stroud, he's been doing okay. The rest of the team is in an infirmary. He's playing with people that are the backups, and he hasn't really looked all that bad. So, you know, I'd be nervous about backdoor cover, which is, you know, laying that 8.5 I'd be a little bit concerned with. But I think that teasing the Jaguars this week is actually probably a great look. If you're looking for that second leg, Pitt in New Orleans is a great option. But, you know, I went with Baltimore. You know, they're going against Indianapolis. And Gardner Minshew, is probably getting the start here. And that offense wasn't created for him. It was created for Anthony Richardson. So there's a player that is taking over, and he doesn't have the same skill set that the starter was supposed to. And you see that the offenses usually have a downward spiral when that happens. We get both the Jags and Baltimore under 3, so I like that in the 16 teaser, and I like Jacksonville team total over 26.5.
Steve Reeder, bettingpredators.com, avoidthevig.com with us on the HRMP guest line. Money plays week 3 NFL. Let's look at a game that is a big line on this game. Kansas City hosting the Bears. The Bears are in all sorts of turmoil right now. KC is 12.5-point favorite at home. Where is the value in this game?
Yeah, it's funny because a lot of these, we're going to derivative markets. We're going down to team total again, and I'm taking Chicago's team total under 17.5. And it's taking a lot of money, and for good reason. And in fact, I'd be okay with playing under 17 if you can't find it anywhere else. And a lot of this has to do with Justin Fields. He just hasn't been effective this year. You know, he hasn't been running the ball. He's blamed the coaching staff for making him overthink. But it was Justin Fields in the summer saying that he wanted to pass more and run less. he's not nearly as effective as a single caller when that happens. The Chicago O-line already had problems coming into the game. Now they have the left tackle also out, so that's multiple injuries on that offensive line. And they're going against a KC defense that is playing over their heads right now. And not to mention, let's stop for a second. Let's pause. Let's talk about the elephant in the room. This is like, you know, two truths and a lie. Justin Fields stinks because of the coaches. The Bears' defensive coordinator inexplicably resigns. Their facility being raided by the feds. I'm not sure I can separate fact from fiction with this one. It's insanity. You know, and with KC's defense, their metrics being surprisingly off the charts. You know, they held the Lions to 14 points in week one. The Jags to 9 last week. Both offenses are light years ahead of Chicago's. Unless Field is willing to use his legs, Chicago's drawing dead. Even if it does, I still like our chances in this one. Under 17.5, played all the way down to 17.
Hey, let's get another AFC South team in here. The Titans going to Cleveland, taking on the Browns. Brownies, of course, lose Nick Chubb for the year. 3.5 points. Browns are favored in this game. What do you like about this game?
Yeah, I have a strong lean to the Browns, honestly, you know, especially if you can get down to just a 3. But again, I'm really concerned about Deshaun Watson here. So after posting 15 points in their opener to the Saints, Tennessee did score 27 points last week. And I'm looking to play under 17.5, and that's, you know, considerably more in that one. But the Titans want to play slow pace. They want to keep the game close. They want to keep the ball on the ground, limit turnovers, and play the end game in that fourth quarter to take over. You know, that's a positive for our bet. And, you know, full disclosure, it's not even enough to put me on the under with just that. What turned this from a lean to a like is the Cleveland Browns defense. They're one of the best units in the league. Cleveland may be 1-1, but the defense only allowed 16 points all season. The only TD they surrendered was a 70-yard pass to George Pickens, which was kind of obscure. He broke a tackle, and there was no safety help deep. So, you know, I'm not excusing it, but I think that if you look at the totality of what they've done this year, it is significant, and it's going to be a tall task for Tennessee. You know, add in that the starting rookie left tackle, Peter Skoronski, is out for Tennessee, and they had one of the worst offensive lines to begin with coming into the year. You know, I don't know how they're going to slow down that front seven for the Cleveland Browns. You know, I had faith. If I had faith in Deshaun Watson, we'd be playing -3 all day long here, but I don't. So I'm going to pivot to Tennessee, team total under 17.5.
All right, Steve, I saw you've got an interesting teaser here that involves the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Baltimore Ravens. What do you got for us?
Yeah, you know, this all comes down to the handicap we talked about previously with Jacksonville. They are, they're going to put up points on the board. And I am concerned about Houston being able to get a backdoor cover with it, which is why I'm not laying that 8.5. But frankly, I expect Trevor Lawrence to come out, throwing the ball over the place. Calvin Ridley looked great in that opener. Didn't look quite as good last week. This is a huge bounce-back spot for them. I really think they put it to them and put some points on the board. I don't know if the defense is going to be able to hold Houston back, especially in that garbage time with C.J. Stroud. You know, he's put up a lot of yards. He hasn't been perfect. He's been flawed for sure, but he's put up yards. He's put up points on the board. So I'm avoiding that. We're teasing it down. And, you know, with Baltimore, Lamar Jackson, you know, they're still figuring things out on offense. But I just don't respect Indianapolis with Gardner Minshew in there. Anthony Richardson just has so much more potential than Gardner Minshew does. Gardner Minshew, if he didn't have a mustache, people wouldn't be talking about him. They wouldn't be getting the respect that they are in the marketplace. So
it's the porn stash.
Absolutely. It's the porn stash. It moves the line a full point, Patrick. There's no doubt.
He is Steve Reeder. BettingPredators.com, AvoidTheVig.com. Follow him on X, Twitter, at AvoidTheVig. Steve, appreciate you, my man. We'll talk soon.
Definitely, man. Best of luck to Patrick.
All right, take care, Steve. Steve giving us ways to make money this weekend on Money Plays. Coming up next, what if I told you the 2023 Astros and the 2000 Yankees had some similarities? Next.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, home of the Norwegian Blue.
Remarkable bird, the Norwegian Blue, isn't it? Beautiful plumage.
to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical Rx. By Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. And by BetUS.
You know, the Astros have not exactly had the best month of September. And really, since they went to Arlington and stumped a mud hole in the Junk Grabbers and outscored them 39-10, they haven't looked like the same team. They have struggled terribly. Fortunately for them, well, the Junk Grabbers and the Coffee Sippers have not been able to take advantage of the fact the Astros have played terrible. But right now, you look at where the Astros are, what the Astros are doing, you know, what their record is. I mean, look, before the season, I thought the Astros were going to be a 95-win team. Well, that's not going to happen. With 9 games to go, the Astros have 85 wins. They can't win 95 games. Is 92 enough to win the division? Is 90 enough to win the division? What's the magic number? And while the Astros have looked pretty lousy and they've lost 6 of 10, and I said the Coffee Sippers, well, they've 5-5 their last 10. The Junk Grabbers are 6-4, and this is why the division is separated by less than a game among 3 teams. I know a lot of Astros fans feeling like, well, maybe this isn't their year. Maybe this iteration of the Astros just had too many injuries to the starting rotation, had, you know, spent too much time without Yordan Alvarez and without Jose Altuve, had too many guys in the bullpen just not able to be as strong as they were a year ago. They haven't found that stretch. They haven't had that big power run. They haven't been that team this year. They've, you know, steadily each month, yeah, we're a few games over to the point where they're, you know, they're 17 games over. I mean, 17 over is solid. This is a team I think we all thought would be like 30 over. But, you know, the Astros trying to be the first team since the New York Yankees to win back-to-back World Series titles. And that Yankees team from 98 to 2000 won 3 straight titles. In fact, they won 3 straight titles. They won 4 times in 5 years. And they went to the World Series 5 times in 6 years. But in 2000, the last year of that dynasty, the Yankees didn't have very good regular season. The Yankees actually, in September, lost 15 of 18 going down the stretch, including losing their last 7 games of the year. They actually won the division on a day where the Red Sox lost. And Joe Torre, who was their manager, basically had to go into the clubhouse, which was dead silent because they were terrible, and tell them to celebrate because they won the division. The Yankees were 87-74 in 2000. They had the fewest wins of any team that qualified for the postseason. And after losing 15 of their last 18 games, hell, they didn't even limp to the postseason. They crawled, they dragged their asses to the postseason. They then went 11-5 in the postseason against the A's, the Coffee Sippers, and the Metropolitans, the Mets, right? They beat the Oakland Athletics. They beat the Seattle Coffee Sippers. They beat the New York Mets. They won 11 out of 16. And they won their 3rd championship in a row. And a lot of the players from that team would tell you, you know, after winning 2 straight years, going to the World Series 3 times in 4 years, going to, 4 straight ALCS, there was a difficulty in getting up for regular season games. They wanted to get to the postseason. They were built for the postseason. They wanted to just get to the postseason. But every other team looks at you, you're their World Series. So you're always getting everybody else best. Sometimes you just can't get yourself there. When the postseason came, the switch went on, and they turned back into the dominant Yankees. They started kicking everybody's ass. We've seen in the past, the Astros have the ability to flip the switch. With 9 games to go in the regular season, can they flip the switch? Can they start off by mudhole stomping a team that they should absolutely mudhole stomp in the Kansas City Royals? Can they handle business really for the first time this season against the Coffee Sippers? Because the Coffee Sippers is, Coffee Sippers have taken care of the Astros this year. Now it's regular season. Can they do it in the postseason? That's a whole different bag of wax, but so far during the regular season, Seattle's had Houston's number. Now they got to go out to Arizona. Can they finish the season strong? Can they earn themselves a few days off to reset the rotation? And all people go, well, you know, maybe they don't want to win the division because, you know, they're not very good at home. They're so good on the road. Yeah, that's silliness. You want postseason games in your building. Different energy in the postseason. No matter how full you may have gone to a game in Minute Maid Park during the regular season, it is not the same as the playoffs. If you're a season ticket holder, you know that. If you're a fan that buys a lot of games and shells money out of your pocket to buy postseason tickets, secondary market, you definitely know that. And you're paying for it. So the fact the Astros are struggling right now does not tell me that they can't win the World Series. It tells me that they need to flip the switch. They've done it. Can they do it again? Clearly they need certain guys to be healthy. Altuve, Yordan. They need strong performances from Verlander, Fromber, Javier. You know, what does JP France have left? What is, because look, Hunter Brown looks like he hit the rookie wall. Hunter Brown looks like he's hit the rookie wall and he's not going to be able to be a consistent starter. Jose Urquidy has not really been right since he's come off the IL. And for a guy who's now had 3 shoulder injuries, essentially the same shoulder injury, 3 times in the last 2.5 seasons and hasn't had surgery, the fact that his stuff is just not that good right now and his command is just not that good right now shouldn't be surprised to anybody. Jose Urquidy's shoulder is a ticking time bomb. You don't keep having injuries, the same injury over and over again, and rest, it'll be fine. He's ultimately going to need surgery. It's not if, it's when. You know, they're going to be very much down to that, you know, 4 starters. And they might have to have really short leashes with 2 of them. So they really need, more than ever, they need Verlander and Fromber to be bosses in the postseason for all rounds. Not, okay, well, this round, yes, that round, no. They need it every round. They need their stars. They need their horses to show up and shine. They need Alex Bregman, who talked a great game about, hey, we need to execute. We need to get it done right. They need him to hit that way. They got to get their stuff straight. All right, it can't be relying on the Yiner Diaz's and the Mauricio Dubons of the world. Stars got to come out at night when you get to the postseason. They flip the switch many times. Do they have one more switch flip in them? Before we hit the break, tell you about our friends at BetUS.com, my favorite sports book, the original online sports book and casino. BetUS.com. They're the only book that I endorse. They're celebrating their 30th anniversary as a sports betting service. And for that anniversary, they're giving you the best sign-up deals. Up to 30 risk-free bets. 30 bets where if you win, you get paid, and if you lose, you get to keep your money. Risk-free. It's called Bet Protect, and nobody has it except BetUS.com. Plus, they offer the industry's biggest sign-up bonus. Sign up now. Get 125% sign-up bonus with BetUS.com. Sign up with crypto and get a 200% sign-up bonus. Get BetProtect. Get started today. Go to BetUS.com. Go to BetUS.com or call them 1-800-MY-BETUS. 1-800-MY-BETUS. Learn about the bonuses. Learn about the special offers. Want to learn how to deposit with cryptos? You get that 200% bonus, call them, 1-800-MY-BET-US. They'll tell you how. BetUS.com, sportsbook and casino where the game begins.
ESPN 97.5.com. We keep getting away with it.
I want the ball. Give it the ball.
Late night Houston sports talk only happens here. It's Late Hits with Patrick Creighton. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph. Get Physical RX. By Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. And by BetUS. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Hey, a minute here for our friends at Home Run Dugout in Katy. I'm telling you, this is going to be your favorite place to hang out. Between the batting bays, and the outdoor baseball beer garden. There's a zillion TVs. You will watch every game. You will not miss a single pitch or a single snap. It is awesome. Indoor-outdoor bars, indoor-outdoor restaurant seating, the outdoor baseball field. It is the coolest place. They also have concerts. Remember I told you about the concert they had with Lil Kiki, Slim Thug, and Paul Wall? Well, maybe you're not a rap or an R&B fan. Maybe you're more a country music fan. Eli Young Band coming to Home Run Dugout September 30th. Drake White coming to Home Run Dugout October 6th. See a pair of great country artists at Home Run Dugout. You can get tickets at homerundugout.com. Get your tickets for those events there. It is a great experience. You're going to go there once and you're going to love it. It's become my favorite place to go. It's going to be your favorite place to go to. Home Run Dugout in Katy, homerundugout.com. All right, it's time for a little WTF. Now, there is nothing like having your bro spill the beans on you being a badass. Well, here is Jason Kelce spilling the beans on his brother Travis Kelce and his maybe dating Taylor Swift.
By the way, how they doing? How those two doing? How those lump? No, that's all right.
Hey, yeah.
Jason, you know, everything you say gets quoted on these days. You know that, right?
I know. I get it. And that's the way the world works. And Tony kind of blindsided me with that question on Thursday night. And I don't know. It's hard to answer because I don't really know a lot about what's happening in Travis's love life. And I try to like keep, his business
sure.
and stay out of that world, but having said that, man, I think he's doing great. And I think it's all 100% true. And I hope that this soon goes to mountain. No, I'm joking.
Wow! Good for them, Jason. Good for them, man. That's excellent.
Courtesy WIP in Philadelphia. Now, I like how he's like, I don't really know. I don't get involved. But, oh, yeah, it's definitely true. That was great. He's like, I don't get involved. I don't know anything. I try to say that. Oh, but, oh, yeah, it's definitely true. Travis Kelce, who we've seen at a lot of Super Bowl parades be somewhat inebriated, certainly acted that way. Pop off the cheesiest lines, try to cut wrestling promos, and now dating Taylor Swift. Interesting things about Taylor Swift from Pennsylvania. She and Travis Kelce, both 33. She apparently is a pretty solid Eagles fan. So, obviously good for Jason, not so good for Travis there, but apparently she's an Eagles fan, so she's a football fan, so that it helps if you're dating a football player to actually be a football fan of some degree. It's hard to date a football player and be like, I hate football. I mean, it's hard to date a sports radio person and be like, I hate sports. Or just date a sports fan and be like, I hate sports. Usually, if you're dating somebody who's a hardcore sports person, you have to at least casually have interest. Josh, among the seven girls that you're dating, well, I shouldn't say dating, I should just say FWBing. Among the seven girls that you're FWBing, how many of them hate sports?
I want to say, I don't really think any of them hate sports. They either like it or they don't know anything at all.
It's okay if you don't know anything if you're willing to sit there and just not be a jerk about it.
Like, they'll ask me questions.
That's okay. You can ask legitimate questions, but, you know, don't be stupid about it. Don't deliberately stand in my way to block the television during, like, a big play.
The worst.
Don't continually ask me, hey, can you get me a drink? Can you get me something to eat? Can we do this? Can we do that? Don't start talking about random, not game-related topics when clearly there is action going on. Like, don't be a jerk about it. Because women know. Even if they don't like sports, they know when the least opportune time is for them to talk, and they exploit it, and then they go, you're not paying attention to me. Like, I know how this works.
You just hit a nerve right there with that one.
I know how this works.
Which, by the way, I know everyone's quite excited about the Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift rumors, but for me, I'm having a hard time being happy for him due to the fact that I know what his ex looks like. And to me, he had a big downgrade as far as looks and curves going to Taylor Swift.
Well, you know, some guys like their women to look like a highway between Fort Worth and Dallas. If you know that reference. Some guys like that. You know? Some guys.
To each your own. To each your own.
Some guys, and I'm not saying I'm one of them, but I'm saying this, there, we know some guys like women with curves. Some guys like stick figures. I don't know why somebody would like a stick figure, because I got to feel like at some point you're like, is this a woman or is this a 12-year-old boy? But, and I'm certainly not advocating that, but the idea of, you know, looks like a woman, feels like a woman versus, you know, a couple of mosquito bites. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. Travis, what? So I got to look up this Travis Kelce ex-girlfriend. Who was his ex-girlfriend?
I forgot her name, but my word, does she look lovely?
Kayla Nicole.
Sounds about right.
All right. It says, get to know Kayla Nicole, former girlfriend of Travis Kelce. All right. Now we got to look up Kayla Nicole pictures.
There was a video of her walking a runway, I want to say last week, that came on my Twitter timeline. And if I was Travis, let's just say I'd be trying to call that old thing back.
So what you're saying is you feel like Taylor is very much that highway between Fort Worth and Dallas.
Absolutely, especially compared to that.
Well, see, if we had the right internet connection in the studio, and we weren't stuck on guest, which means, you know, dial-up speeds. I could be all right, you know what? Yeah, definitely more curves than Taylor Swift. That's...
At least we could agree on that.
That is, that is not a question. That is not a question. I'm not even gonna, hoopsie, what's that? Yep, that's just it.
I don't know how you go from that to anyways, that's none of my business.
You know how you go from that to that. Here comes the money. You know what? Y'all went from, when you go from looks really good, but, I mean, what is she, like a Insta-trapper versus Taylor Swift, who is going to be a billionaire this year. You probably feel like you're on – imagine being an NFL star making 20-plus million a year. And you can't even touch your girlfriend's financial power. Usually it's the other way around. You're making $20 million a year, and the girl you're dating, she makes like, you know, 12 bucks an hour. You know, that or she's hoeing herself online. I don't know. I don't want to date somebody who hoes themselves online.
I'm with you on that.
I don't want to date somebody who's, like, we see these, they call themselves Instagram models, but they're basically just hoes. Like the girl on the plane, like I'm internet famous. No, you sell yourself to very old, very rich men and you let them do anything they want to you for like $300. Okay? You are just a high rent hooker. And I don't understand why you'd want to be guy 47 this week. I just, you know, I mean, we're not even at like hot dog down a hallway. We're just throwing it right in the basement, not even looking. It's gross. One thing we probably know about Taylor Swift's probably not hoeing herself online.
She will make a breakup song about you, though.
And then you'll really be famous. Hey, see if you can get some co-writing credits on that and make some money. Like, hey, look, if you're going to write a breakup song about me, I need you to put this line in there. And I need to get a credit. You can call me every name in the book. Put this line in there and give me a credit. We're good. You ever seen a $10,000 bill?
No.
So $10,000 bills, they were out of circulation since 1969. And the government has tried to take them in and destroy them and whatnot. One just sold at auction for $480,000. Let's have fun. Do you know whose face is on a $10,000 bill? Salmon P. Chase. Do you know who he is?
I do not.
He was the sixth Chief Justice of the United States. He served as Secretary of the Treasury under Abraham Lincoln. He was the 23rd Governor of Ohio. He is also one of the original founders of what we currently call the Republican Party. He actually sought the 1860 presidential nomination for the Republican Party that ultimately went to Abraham Lincoln. He was a huge political figure in his day. And he does not have a forehead. He has a nine head. If you ever see one of those bills, the guy's forehead is like the top of your head. It's going to do it for us for tonight. We're back tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Appreciate my man Jay Shev on the other side of the glass. My man Steve Reeder, avoidthevig.com, bettingpredators.com, our texters, tweeters, twitchers. See you tomorrow night. H-Town!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're hooked up with it.
You hooked up with it. You decided to marry it. I told you.